If you have a Bible handy or if you'd like to look at the screen, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 8, sermon entitled The Blessing of the Boxes, which is what we're all about today. So Bibles or up on the screen, Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather around your word. And Father, we thank you for the abundant generosity of your people who have given to Operation Christmas Child. And for those who aren't yet your people, who don't yet know you as Lord and Savior, but have decided to be generous and contribute in this way, we pray that through this act of generosity, they might get a glimpse of who you are and what you're about and want to taste again and see that you are good and be more and more a part of your kingdom and your family. Father, we ask as we explore your word today and bless these boxes, Lord, that you would work powerfully within us and in the word and in through the boxes that go out from this place to the far reaches of the earth. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the blessing of the boxes that we have today, the 88 here and any others that may be out there still to come, and the millions of boxes that are going to go across the world from Samaritan's Purse through Operation Christmas Child. The passage from Isaiah 55, and I love the second half of the book of Isaiah, the kingdom imagery in the second half of the book of Isaiah, the redemption narrative that is there is really, really incredible. And this particular passage from Isaiah 55 has some great parallels between what we're doing with Operation Christmas Child and also with how we can apply some of the things we learn from that and from Scripture to our own lives in the here and now. So there are four key verses, or sort of key stanzas, if you will, that we're going to explore through today in the second half of this chapter of Isaiah. And those key verses are as follows. My word will not return to me empty. My thoughts are not your thoughts. There we go. You shall go out with joy and peace, and this will be for the Lord's renown. Starting with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. My word will not return to me empty. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, for me, there is an incredible parallel between the sending out of these Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, and the way God describes his word going out. We don't just send out these shoeboxes, you know, for the fun of it, although it is pretty fun shopping, I must admit, I enjoyed that. We don't just send it out, you know, just cause. It's not a hand-waving or a tokenistic gesture. We send these boxes out in the name and in the love of Jesus Christ. It is very similar to the word going out. It is the version of the word going out that we have available to us to go to the ends of the earth. A tangible symbol of God's love and God's gifting of his generosity to others. That is a very tangible and practical way in which we send out the word. And the word does not return empty. Last year, the impact of Operation Christmas Child was immense. There were 11 million shoeboxes distributed in 2021. Now, when an Operation Christmas Child receives a shoebox, they actually don't keep the box. They actually get packaged up into a little bag and they sling the bag over there and they take all of the gifts home, and some of the boxes get recycled and so and get remade into new ones. But 11 million boxes went out. Every time a child receives that gift, they are invited to be part of a course called The Greatest Adventure, which is a gospel presentation about Jesus, where they are presented with the gospel. 4 million children last year alone accepted the invitation to do that course. So of the 11 million that received a shoebox, 4 million responded to that gift of generosity with the desire to know more about Jesus. And from there, 2 million children made a commitment to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's applause there. There's applause there. Come on. 2 million children. Thank you. I love it. 2 million children who previously did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior now know Jesus as Lord and Savior because of the power of a simple gift. Because someone packed a shoebox and sent it to that child. The parallel between that and God's word not returning to void, I don't know if I could come up with a better practical example than that. We send things out in faith. We send things out with the power of God, and it's tied to the second idea of God's thoughts not being our thoughts and his ways not our ways. I mean, it's bizarre to think about if you were to sort of give a business pitch saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pack a shoebox. We're going to ship that shoebox overseas. It's going to go into the middle of nowhere. We're going to hand it to a kid, and that kid is then going to come and know, you know, be part of what we're doing back here. You'd be like, that's a terrible strategy. That's not going to work. Like, you know. But God is so abundantly above everything that we do. We have no idea how he is planning to work through each and every individual box that is there. I want to read a couple of testimonials for you that I pulled off of the Operation Christmas Child website to give you just a glimpse into the impact that these boxes can have. This first story is from Ecuador. A 14-year-old boy shared that he lives only with his mum because his dad abandoned them when he was four. His life was very sad because of the many arguments he had had with his mum. One day, a friend invited him to a children's event where he received a shoebox gift from Operation Christmas Child. That day, he learnt that God is always with him. He prayed and confessed his sins and accepted Christ as Savior. The next week, he started the discipleship program where he got to know Jesus and his love. His mother wasn't a Christian. He decided to change his attitude so she would know Jesus too. When he graduated, he asked his mother for forgiveness and they cried together. The most special thing was that his mother decided to accept Jesus into her heart too. Now they go to church together and he knows that even though his father abandoned them, God will never do the same. And the second story is from Bulgaria. Miroslav was abandoned by his parents from birth and was brought up in the orphanage system. He has special needs and finds a way to express himself through the arts. He draws all the time and makes cards from different natural materials. He shared that he ran out of coloured pencils. In his Operation Christmas Child gift, he found a pencil box with everything he needed to draw, as well as a set of paints. How amazing that that particular box ended up with that particular child. Now, this is not my first foray into Operation Christmas Child. I remember being involved in Operation Christmas Child, actually over a number of years. In fact, fun fact, all of those boxes are actually going to get repacked before they go. They get checked, they get repacked, they make sure they've got a pencil case and a little sling bag that I was telling you about. It's quite an impressive process. If you ever get a chance to actually go and be part of that, I'd recommend it. It's really good fun. Except I was doing it in November in Perth in a warehouse and it was like 38 degrees. It was still fun, but it was wet, you know, if you catch my drift. You've caught my drift. Good. But I remember going through a process where a number of people, there came a time in Operation Christmas Child's history where we were no longer allowed to include Christian motifs within the boxes. We weren't allowed to include anything overtly religious, so you couldn't put Bibles in, you couldn't put crosses in. And I remember dealing with the backlash at that particular point in time, and a number of people, they said they would refuse to be involved anymore because it's like, well, if we can't send them out with Christian things in them, what's the point anymore? And then for me, what really resonated when I was preparing this sermon and reflecting on that story that came back to me was, again, God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Do we really believe that if we forget to put the cross in there, or if we forget to put a Bible in there, that the gospel will not go out the way God wants it to? His word will not return to him empty. Another story from childhood. It may also be a story from your childhood. Do you remember when you're in early primary school and you do that activity where you get like a glass jar full of soil and you have to plant a seed in it? Or if maybe when you put the stockings, the soil in the head of a stocking, put eyes on it and water it, and then grass grows out like hair? Getting some nods? If you haven't, it's a fantastic activity. Do it with your grandkids. It's awesome. I remember doing that. And the thing I love about that is that, like, even from the earliest age, and one of the things I love about the metaphor of God's word in this passage is that from the earliest age, we understand the concept of water and rain feeding the earth and making things grow. It's one of the first things we get taught to pray about and pray for as kids. Being a largely agricultural country, it's something, and a one that is prone to drought, it's something that we often pray for, that God would send rain on farms. Perhaps that's a bit poor timing on my part with everything that's going on, and we must remember to continue to pray for people who are affected by flooding. But that's our country. We have floods, we have droughts, we need to be praying for each other. Let that be the lesson from that. But I love this because it's really easy for everyone to get that image in their head of God's word going out, watering the soil that is out there, and things growing. It is inevitable that when it rains, things will grow, just as it is inevitable that when God sends his word out, discipleship grows, the kingdom grows, powerful things happen in the spiritual world and in the physical world when God sends his word out. So now we come to a turning point in the message where I want to ask a challenging question. Is packing a shoebox enough for you? It can be very easy to, well, I've done my bit, I've packed my shoebox, it's out there, God's ways are not my ways, his word won't return to him empty, I've done my bit. I've sowed my seed, I've sent the word out there, I'm done. Is that enough for you? It's not enough for me. And I hope it's not enough for you either. One of the passages in Scripture that's not in Isaiah, but comes up twice in the New Testament, is this concept of the harvest being plentiful, but the workers are few. And therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the vineyard. Now, we can be very good at the asking for people to be sent into the vineyard, but we're not so good at being the answer to that prayer when the person who is meant to go into the vineyard is in fact us. We are not merely to pray for the laborers, but also to be those laborers. Because do you know what? Jesus said that twice. Once in Matthew chapter 9, and he also said it in Luke chapter 10. It's like the same time, but in two different recordings of Scripture. Do you know what happens immediately after he says those words? Immediately after he says those words, he sends his disciples out. He sends his disciples out. He says, we need laborers in the vineyard. Guess what? You're the laborers. So it shouldn't be enough for us to pack a shoebox. That's not saying that what you haven't, that's not to blah, 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 blah. That's not to say that this is not awesome. There is abundant generosity in that. This is something that we can rightly, or maybe not rightly, but we can be proud of this to an appropriate Christian degree. This is something to celebrate. This is wonderful. The fact that people that aren't yet Christians were involved in this is really, really great. We should celebrate this. We should be honored by this. We should just love the fact that this has happened. But within our own hearts and within our own lives, we can be striving for more. It should not be enough for us because as Isaiah 55 goes on, it says, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's really hard to actually sing that, so say that without starting the song that we may have all sung in our lives. Wonderful worship song, that one. But you will go out. One of the ways, in fact, the main way that the word goes out from God's mouth is through you. Jesus, the word, lives in you. The word that we have comes with us where we go. If you're lucky enough to have it on your phone like I do, you can take the word of God with you everywhere you go. We are responsible for taking the word out to people so that it does not return void. The task of building the kingdom of God is a task that God has given to us. It was the last thing Jesus commanded us to do. Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we are commissioned to do. It is not enough to just pack a box. It's wonderful to do that, but there is more that we are called to do. We are to be God's ambassadors. We are to be his witnesses. We are to go out in joy and peace. Joy and peace. When you carry the power and the word of God with you, going out with joy and peace is easy because they are the fruit of the Spirit. They are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and peace. And there's a wonderful lesson that we can learn from Operation Christmas Child about how we can go into our world, the world just outside the door, just across Milliar Road, just across Berrumbong Drive, just across Tuple Place, I think. On that, like, there is a whole world of people out there. And we can learn from the way Operation Christmas Child does it because they give the box first. They go, they give, they serve, and then they invite. Notice how the invitation comes at the end there. Notice how the beginning of the interaction is a gift. A gift. Now, the gift doesn't come with the expectation that you will then respond to the invitation. After all, 11 million gifts, 4 million, 2 million. We didn't get everybody. It'd be great if it was 11 million, 11 million, 11 million, and maybe one day it will be. But 11 million people, 11 million boxes went out. Of that, 4 million responded and 2 million gave themselves to Jesus. It starts with going to a community with an open hand and an open heart to give first and foremost. If we go into the community and our agenda is to invite first, you know, come and be part of what we're doing without any sense of being there to serve and to give, you're going to find yourself coming up against a lot of brick walls. The first thing Jesus did when he sent his 12 out was to tell them to offer peace wherever they went. Offer peace first. Go, give, serve, invite. That's what they do with Operation Christmas Child, and it's a very practical thing that we can do. So thinking about December the 11th, and the people that you might want to invite. How are you going to them now? How are you giving to them now? And how are you serving to them now? Because I know it's an old cliched line, but people won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. People are far more likely to respond to your invitation to be part of the life that you are living if you are going and giving and serving to them, just as we see with Operation Christmas Child. And then to put this into perspective and to tie it all together is that beautiful verse at the end of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, 13. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. The images of these boxes, the videos of children receiving them, the stories that emerge from all of this are still echoing today. They are an everlasting sign for the Lord's renown. It is all about Jesus. We sung that earlier. It is all about what God is doing in his world. We are part of that everlasting sign. Let that be the thing that drives you. Let that be the thing that motivates you. This kingdom that God wants to build where everybody is involved. Everybody is part of it. Everybody knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. Everybody, God is the God of everybody. And they all know him. Every tongue is confessing and every knee is bowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the image that we should be taking hold of and allowing us to pack shoe boxes and go above and beyond, to go into our own neighborhoods to reach people with the word of Jesus, knowing that he is in amongst that with his far higher ways and far higher thoughts than us, and that his word is not going to return to him empty. To conclude today, we're going to get a little bit practical and chaotic. And what we're going to do is, in a moment's time, I'm going to invite everyone to stand up, to come and pick a box, and to bring it back to your seat. You just have to take one. All of them don't have to be picked. I'll just be gentle with them, and there's some sanitizer if you want. When you get back to your seat, on the box, it'll say whether a child is a boy or a girl, and it'll give you an age range. I just want you to sit with that, and I want you to picture that child. Now, because God's thoughts are so much higher than ours and his ways are so much higher than ways, I actually genuinely believe that one or more of us may actually receive the image of the exact child that will receive that box. God is so capable of doing that, and it's really possible. It's okay if it's not. You just might know a child who is that gender and that age, and you can picture them. That is totally fine too. But I want you to picture a child that might be receiving those boxes, and we are going to pray for that box and these boxes together, knowing that God's word will not return to us. So if you'd like to come up and grab a box. So just take a moment. Allow God to form the image in your mind of what this child might look like, where in the world this child might be, and think about them receiving this gift. And let's pray the prayer on the screen together. Heavenly Father, may this shoebox be received with joy, and may this child come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen.